Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnarled Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Treasury of Michael Saylor, How Bitcoin Powers Cultures, Corporations, and Countries in the 21st Century is a nonfiction book by Anil Patel that curates and interprets Michael Saylor's ideas about Bitcoin, money, and corporate treasury strategy. Rather than functioning as a traditional biography, it assembles speeches, interviews, and social media commentary into a framework for understanding Saylor's influence on how wealth can be stored, moved, and protected in the digital age. The book is positioned as a guide for readers who want to understand Bitcoin not only as a speculative asset, but as a monetary technology with implications for individuals, companies, and even sovereign states. Its purpose is partly explanatory and partly strategic. It distills Saylor's arguments into a more accessible format while presenting Bitcoin treasury thinking as a repeatable model. As a result, the book sits at the intersection of finance, technology, and economic philosophy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Bitcoin as a monetary technology, not just an investment asset. A central theme of the book is the claim that Bitcoin should be understood as a technological solution to the problem of storing value over time. Patel presents Saylor's argument that money functions like stored economic energy, and that Bitcoin is the first system capable of preserving that energy with strong scarcity and portability. This framing matters because it moves the discussion away from price speculation and toward monetary design. In that view, Bitcoin is valuable not simply because it may rise in market value, but because it offers a different architecture for ownership, settlement, and long-term preservation of capital. The book uses this idea to challenge familiar assumptions about cash, bonds, and other conventional reserve assets. Readers are encouraged to see Bitcoin as an infrastructure layer for wealth, which helps explain why the book repeatedly links it to corporate treasuries, national reserves, and capital allocation decisions. Secondly, the corporate treasury playbook built around balance sheet conversion. Another major focus is Michael Saylor's approach to corporate Bitcoin strategy, especially the idea that a company can transform its treasury from a passive store of cash into an active financial engine. The book highlights the now well-known logic of issuing equity or taking on capital, converting that capital into Bitcoin, and then using market confidence to reinforce the company's valuation. This is presented as a structured model rather than an improvised gamble. Patel's curation makes clear that the appeal lies in the mechanics of treasury management. If management believes fiat cash loses purchasing power over time, then holding Bitcoin becomes a response to capital erosion. The book therefore explains why Saylor's strategy attracted so much attention among executives and investors. It is not only about Bitcoin itself, but about redefining what a company treasury is supposed to do, how it should protect shareholder value, and how boards can think differently about reserve assets. Thirdly, a framework for sovereign and institutional adoption of Bitcoin. The book does not limit Bitcoin strategy to individuals or public companies. It extends the discussion to cities, institutions, and national governments, arguing that the logic of a Bitcoin treasury reserve standard can be copied at multiple scales. This is one of the book's most distinctive ideas. If Bitcoin is a superior reserve asset, then sovereign or institutional balance sheets may eventually need to adapt to it. Patel emphasizes that this is a repeatable framework, not a personalized stunt tied only to Michael Saylor's company. That makes the book relevant to policymakers and public sector readers who are interested in inflation resilience, reserve diversification, and long-term capital stewardship. The broader implication is that monetary policy and treasury policy are becoming more intertwined with digital asset strategy by presenting Bitcoin adoption as a decision-making framework rather than a trend. The book gives readers a way to think about how governments and large institutions might respond to changing capital conditions. Fourthly, a critique of fiat savings and the problem of imperfect capital storage. The book repeatedly contrasts Bitcoin with what it presents as weaker stores of value, including cash, debt instruments, real estate, and equities held for preservation rather than productive use. This critique is not simply anti-fiat rhetoric. It is part of a larger argument about capital inefficiency. Patel's presentation of Saylor's ideas suggests that large amounts of global wealth are trapped in assets that do not preserve value cleanly over long periods, especially when measured against inflation and monetary expansion. The consequence is that savers and institutions often believe they are being prudent while actually accepting hidden erosion. Bitcoin enters the book as the preferred alternative because it is scarce, durable, and globally transferable. This section of the book is important because it provides the rationale behind the treasury thesis. Without the diagnosis of broken savings mechanisms, the rest of the strategy would make little sense. The book therefore functions as a critique of conventional wealth preservation, as much as a defense of Bitcoin. Lastly, why the book matters as a curated guide to Saylor's worldview. What distinguishes the book from a standard Bitcoin title is its format. it is not trying to present original technical research or a neutral history of the asset. Instead, it curates Saylor's most influential statements and organizes them into an accessible narrative that explains how he thinks about money, capital markets, and digital scarcity. That editorial approach matters because Saylor is known for making dense ideas in finance and technology, but his output is spread across interviews, speeches, and online commentary. Patel's role is to synthesize that material into something that reads like a strategic manual. This gives the book value for readers who want a concise entry point into the philosophy behind corporate Bitcoin adoption. It also makes the book more practical than many books in the category, because it is oriented toward decision-making by readers who may be evaluating treasury policy. Not just learning Bitcoin basics, its uniqueness lies in turning a public thinker's scattered ideas into a usable framework. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand Bitcoin through the lens of treasury management, corporate finance, and long-term capital preservation. Executives, investors, policymakers, and financially curious readers will get the most from it, especially if they are trying to move beyond surface-level discussion of Bitcoin price and speculation. Its practical value lies in how it reframes treasury strategy. Cash is treated as a deteriorating reserve, while Bitcoin is presented as a scarce monetary asset with global reach and long-duration storage properties. Intellectually, the book offers a coherent summary of Michael Saylor's worldview, which is useful because his ideas are usually encountered piecemeal across speeches and interviews. Compared with many Bitcoin books, this one stands out because it is not primarily technical, historical, or ideological. It is a curated strategic guide that connects Bitcoin to corporate balance sheets and even sovereign decision-making. That makes it especially relevant for readers looking for a framework rather than just an introduction to the asset. If you would like to support Anil Patel, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.